Hello.
Welcome to EXP Boosting. I am Vanessa Pomtato.
I am Cindy, aka Sakura Dragon.
And this is episode 2 of EXP Boosting. And today I am interviewing Sakura Dragon.
Wait, hold on. Can you say interviewing again?
Interviewing?
Perfect. What did I say wrong?
Interviewing.
Interviewing?
That's what you said.
I'm interviewing Sakura Dragon today. She is a full-time artist, turned from full-time non-artist, and we will talk a little bit about her history today.
Bye!
Hi!
Cue intro!
So you had some questions for me.
Okay,
hold on. Disclaimer, because we're going in this blind. So she's going to ask me a bunch of questions. This is her show, and I'm going to answer them as honestly as I can. Like, I have no idea what she's going to ask.
So
please be kind.
So ever since I wanted to start a podcast, I really wanted Cindy to be one of my first guests, because Cindy's come a long way. She's done amazing things. She took big leaps. The whole point of the show is to help people just get started, and Cindy's definitely one of those people. You have been doing art full-time for how long now?
2 years.
Two years. And she does this full-time, nothing else, and she's done wonders, as many of you know.
I'm surviving.
So
barely surviving.
So we're going to dig in a little bit.
It looks a lot prettier on the outside, doesn't it, than it really is.
Oh, it's gotten darker.
Dun, dun, dun.
But we're going to dig in a little bit to kind of just show how you kind of got started in your progress. So, I guess, what was your first step towards, like, becoming an artist? Like, I know you started, like, convention tabling. When did you first start your first table?
So, my first table was at Fanime in 2010. That was 8 years ago. So, every year since then, it was Fanime and Anime Expo. Mm-hmm. So it was one or two a year. Mm-hmm. And then a couple years into it, I started to add. And then I graduated from college. And then I started working full time. So, you know, I still wanted to do the convention scene. I didn't go to school for illustration. So I worked in web dev for a little bit, as I did the artisting on the side, right? That was my problem, that was my insecurity, is I can't be an artist because I didn't go to school for art. And I juggled both in hopes that, like, if I did art long enough, I would identify as an artist. At the beginning, I had a lot of insecurities about calling myself an artist, with identifying with that term, because I didn't think I was good enough. And then 3 years ago, I did some, like, business coaching. I took a business coaching class. I spent more money than I had ever spent on any one thing on a business coaching organization, though. Class program. And it was called The Collective of Us. So The Collective of Us is business accelerator / coaching, and it's female only. That was really important to me, that it was female only, because, like, female and male, like, I know this sucks that we are very different. Like, our brains are wired differently, so basically everybody in this organization was like, you are an artist because you're doing art. And I'm like, no, I'm not. Hold on. I'm not that good. Like, you guys think I'm good, but really, I'm not that good. And they said it enough times to me that I was, like, finally, like, oh, I am an artist. And I do art. Okay. And then I took this leap and was like, if I'm going to be an artist, I want to focus on it. And so I was like, I'm going to take the chance. And if this fails and I run out of money, then I can always go back to working. But I haven't had to. Yay!
Yeah.
And let's hope that it stays that way.
Yeah, you've been doing nothing but growing, especially in the last year or so. Yeah. So,
like, if you can spend 100% of your time on something, then you grow so fast.
Yeah, and that's amazing. And you mentioned that you didn't go to school for designing. Like, what prevented you? Because as long as I've known you, you've been doing art. I guess what prevented you from just doing that full-time from the beginning?
Asian parenting.
Like, it would really, like, you grow up, and when you're little, I just remember every time I told somebody I wanted to be an artist when I grew up, the answer was, oh, you shouldn't be an artist. Artists don't make money. Or I remember somebody even said, oh, you're going to die poor, and nobody's going to want your art until after you die. And I was like, okay, I think I was like 5 or 6 at the time. And no, when you're that little, everything adults say is truth.
Yeah,
so I had a lot of relearning to do about the reality of a career. And over the course of, like, after you graduate from college, you watch all of your friends kind of try to tackle adulting. And you see that no matter what field they're in, like whether they're being a doctor or they're being an accountant or they're being an artist, everybody has the same kind of obstacle. I think they're, like, they're different, but they're all equally as hard. Like, in med school, you gotta deal with med school. Like, you have to deal with the long hours. You have to deal with the really competitive atmosphere. You deal with all of the loans. You deal with the getting into med school. That's, like, a fight of its own. When you're an accountant, you have to find that job. You have to climb the social ladder at the hierarchy, right? In order to progress your career, you have to climb the ranks. That's really hard too. And then as an artist, you know, you're like, where do I find my next job? That's a different fight. So I learned that it's about picking your battle. And it's like, in an RPG, what class do you want to play? Because all of them require the same amount of time and grinding.
It's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is true. And I guess kind of growing up with people who were always doubting you, what pushed you to finally say, you know what, I'm just going to do it because it's something I want to do? Ooh. How did you go over that barrier?
This is really dark and scary.
We don't have to get into it if you don't
want to. But, okay, so, you know, art, being art was something that I had always wanted to do, and I always had my foot in it. So I went to a lot of conventions. There was always so much feedback, and my work environment became very stressful. It was very fast-paced, very stressful, and it became very hard to juggle with the side job, because I would have to take time off to go to these conventions. Yeah. And then, like, I would be working all weekend, and then all week I would be at work. And mentally, it was very hard. So I'm a very high anxiety person. So one day I just kind of realized that I was having very bad thoughts, and they were really scary bad thoughts. And I was like, I can't keep doing this. I'm at my limit, and I have to pick. So you, when you're that far in the dark, I should just say, like, I was a little bit suicidal. I had these very suicidal thoughts. I almost got hit by a car, and I thought, oh, it would have just been easier to go. And when your life is in danger like that, nobody else's comments matter. So I think even though that was a very scary moment, it could have been seen as a blessing. Because otherwise I wouldn't have, like, closed my eyes and jumped towards something I love.
It was the idea that you were so unhappy with your life that you thought something needed to change.
Exactly. And it was that moment where I was like, if I'm living this life for my parents or my family or for other people's approval, and it's causing me this much suffering, is it worth it? And I know, like, you know, like the Asian female stereotype of always being people-pleasing, never causing problems. I really, like, it took a lot of learning to deal with people's comments about the expectations. Like, about my own expectations, I felt guilty all of the time for doing my own thing. So, at the end of the day, you get to weigh, like, do other people's opinions matter more than your happiness, or is it okay with you to live the way people are expecting you to? And I mean, there's no right or wrong. It's just a matter of personal preference.
Yeah. I think that's really relatable to everybody. Yeah. Everybody goes through life worrying about what people say, but I guess when you get to the end of your life, do you really want to look back and think, oh, yeah, I lived the way I wanted to, or I lived the way everyone wanted me to? Yeah. Another thing that you do that's really cool is you went from fan art to your own characters, which was kind of a big step. What can you tell us a little bit about that, and what led you to it?
I like fan art. Okay, so this is not a conversation of whether fan art is better than original art. Right. So I love fan art, and I like participating in these, I guess, fandoms. Fandoms. So, like, I really like Animal Crossing, and I love doing Animal Crossing art. But when I was building my brand, I wanted to share a piece of me, right? Like, Sakura Dragon became a way for me to share my story and what I liked and this universe that I had built for myself to cope with the real world. And people were drawn to that. And I'm really lucky that people are drawn to my original art because not everybody can do it, I recognize. It's a hard fight and it's a lot of risk that, you know, it's like I can do this fan art and guarantee the sale, or I can introduce my original art and it's gonna be a little bit more risky. But if you take big risk, it's always, the reward is always bigger, right? So I'm lucky that I can take risk. And it kind of just transitioned a little bit over time. So over the course of like 2 years, I introduced more and more of my original work and I got better and better feedback to the point where now I'm confident that people like my story. But it wasn't like, oh, one day you decide that I don't want to do fan art anymore, mm-hmm. and you transition all of your merchandise. That's not how this works. This is a making in, like, you know, it's been 2 years since I quit my job, and it's been 2 years past since I finally decided I can share just my stuff. And that would make me very happy. If sharing fan art makes you, the listener, very happy, there's nothing wrong with that. You keep sharing what you love, and it's a matter of finding that balance between I get to do what I love, and I get to share,
right?
Yeah, at the same time. Like, yeah. If nobody's buying your original art, maybe that's not the best business practice, you know?
Or something needs to
be tweaked. Yeah, or something needs to be tweaked. And you keep tweaking that equation, and eventually you'll get something you really like.
Right, absolutely. And I think you've even mentioned before that it's something that you were really, something you really love that you're putting out. And if you love it, other people tend to get drawn to something you love because you put your heart into it, and it shows. And that's really neat. Which was the hardest part after quitting your job and pursuing this full time? Did you ever have a moment where it was very tough and you're like, I'm not sure this is going to work out?
That never goes away.
Never.
I mean, just recently, right before Anime Expo, so between Anime and Anime Expo, I was in like a very high because at these anime conventions, there's so much love, right? Mm-hmm. But right before May, right before Fandome, I was like, maybe it's I looked at my finances and I was like, maybe it's time to look for a job again. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of professionals, people who see at these anime conventions, were like, you've made it. Holy snaps, you're so cool, right? But when you talk to these people, they have their doubts too. Mm-hmm. And it's a constant thing. It doesn't go away. So at the beginning, it happened more often. Like, it was a constant. Now it's more of a, like, every couple months you look at your bank account and you're like, oh my god. But the hardest part was dealing with the family, mm-hmm. right? We grow up, as an Asian female, we were taught to prioritize family. So it's really hard. I mean, like, this is not a problem that's unique to me, but I know it's a problem that's unique to the culture. That's part of the reason for doing this podcast. We're taught to value our family over everything else, but sometimes our family is really toxic. So I needed to learn to separate myself from their comments. And, like, again, I'm, like, very high anxiety. So any little thing that they said that indicated disappointment will, like, tear me apart.
Mm-hmm.
So you give that distance. You give yourself enough time to learn to deal with it, to learn to be strong against mm-hmm. it. You surround yourself with people who absolutely love you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And you let that become your strength. Like, Pom came around. She came back from New York at a very, I think, significant time where you, like, watching, cheering you on has also helped me grow stronger
mm-hmm.
because, yeah, it's hard. Nobody really understands, like, when you tell them, you know, you're really busy, and they're like, oh, must be hard to be popular. I'm like, I won't middle finger anyone on screen, but it's happening in my head.
Oh. Well, but I think that's a very good point, is that lifting other people up helps lift you up too. I think we're in a very competitive world right now, especially in like art and like just content creation in general. Lifting other people up is really important. And I guess being an artist in such a competitive space, how do you deal with comparison?
You don't. That is the key. Do not. You compare yourself to the you from 6 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And you compare yourself to the you of like last year. But you remind yourself that the moment you say, oh, so-and-so's looking like they're becoming so popular so fast, or this person is doing such cool art, this person looks so professional. Remember that a lot of it is like social media persona. It's like they get to design that personality the way that they want. It doesn't show any indication of struggle.
That's true.
And everybody has their own artist growth, creator growth. Like, my story is very different than your story, but we're relatable.
Mm-hmm.
And remembering that, you just say, this person is growing at their own rate, and I'm growing at my rate, and it would be cool if we could grow together.
Right.
Yeah. And encourage each other instead of, like, the moment you become toxic, or you start having bad feelings, and you start being jealous, it reflects in your artwork, too, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in the things that you do. Because, you know, I want to show Soccer Dragon with positivity, because it will attract positive attention.
That's true.
Yeah.
And with comparison, sometimes you find yourself leaning towards the people that you are kind of envious of. You shouldn't be changing your content. Mm-hmm. You should keep doing
people
what
like
doing.
Me for me. Right. And I remember that people like me for me.
Right.
That's enough, I think.
They like someone else for their reasons, but they wouldn't like you for those reasons.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, that's great. And I think it's something good to keep in mind, because I think we've all had those moments where we scroll through Facebook or Instagram and like, oh, wow, their life is perfect. And mine is awful right now.
I catch myself doing this very often. It's like, it would be nice to have all the money in the world to throw at this project, but I don't, right?
Right.
And when you see somebody just launching product after product, and you can tell like that investment was huge, you're like, well, you know, I would grow that fast too if I had X amount of money. And but it's not true. Like, the slow and steady wins the race.
Mm-hmm.
And that your slow growth is more likely to be around in a year than if you were to grow big.
Right. And you also don't know what they're putting into it either, or what's going on behind their
actions. And I realized recently that, like, I need to grow slower because I haven't decided what I want for myself, really. So, like, I didn't know that my little characters would be so popular. So, like, every new project that I start changes my identity a little bit. And I have to do that, those changes, as I'm ready for them. I can't just leap into something like I have no idea.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And my last question is, what is the best advice you've ever received that you want to share?
It requires cussing.
Well, it's up to you. Do you want to go to the podcast on this podcast?
I'm going to go beep. Okay, we can beep it up.
Okay,
so the best advice that is...
Why does your advice have passwords in it?
The sun doesn't give a fuck if it's shining too bright. Just wear sunglasses or something like that.
Oh.
Have you heard that?
Something's not those words, but... I guess...
Something along that.
I guess, can you explain to me?
So basically, you keep doing your best, and then, like, other people will have to put on sunglasses or else they'll be blinded, but, you know, don't stop being amazing because other people are looking at it and, like, interpreting it as a negative. So, they're jealous, let them be jealous. Like, don't stop shining, don't stop doing your thing.
Yeah. Okay, that's great. Like, I think especially in society today, a lot of people worry about how they'll be judged if they grow too quickly or if they do something specific. A lot of people are afraid to be themselves and keep going because they're worried about what other people will think. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really important to say. Like, yeah, keep they can always put on sunglasses, and if they don't, they'll just get blinded. And that's
or they can shine brighter.
Yeah, it, hopefully it encourages other people to shine.
Yeah,
too.
Keep hanging.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, thank you. That's all I have.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Let's get back to our usual routine.
Oh.
Hello. This is not going to change, though.
I don't think so either.
But... what games are you playing?
Overwatch.
We're still playing Overwatch.
I'm still playing
Kirby.
We're
still waiting for Maple Story.
Yeah. What else am I playing?
Remember, we're recording this pre-Halloween.
Yeah. So.
Maple Story is not out yet.
Oh, this isn't a game, but I'm relearning magic tricks. I'm teaching myself magic tricks with cards.
Don't show me. I don't want to be shown.
I got to go to Magic Castle, and it was very inspirational. I always grew up loving magic, and I started learning more magic tricks, and that's in my repertoire right now. Repertoire? I don't know.
What motivates you?
Period?
Yes. What?
What motivates me, period, or what motivates me about magic?
Anything.
Seeing other people be amazing and overcome struggles and just do something cool is very inspirational to me, and it makes me want to try harder and do better because it's inspirational. What motivates you?
We were just talking about this. I have a fear of failing. So, I don't want to fail because I know there are some people in the universe watching me and waiting for me to mess up and be like, see, you should just go back to an office job. I'm a very bitter person.
Darkness.
That's why I'm the black mage. But also, I like explosions.
How did this segue go from that to explosions?
Explosions, black mage.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's why you're a black mage, is what you're saying?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I see. But
why are you a healer?
I like to help if I can.
You like to help.
I want to help if I can.
Actually, when we were like creating the profiles, our profile for our website, Context, we were coming up with the character description, and she said, I want to be healer. I was like, why am I not surprised? Like, that was such an... like, that was so predictable.
I often heal in Overwatch. I fill a lot, and now I'm just a main healer. But I like healing. It's fun.
Oh, yeah?
Sometimes. Okay. Sometimes I kill.
You do you. Sometimes you kill because...
sometimes I kill. So
don't ever anger the healer, though, because... when you're playing a game, and you piss off the healer, the healer will stop helping you.
Protect your mercies. Don't blame them. But what you mentioned though is true. Like, it's not bad, I think. It's like the best, like, I heard this on TV, the best revenge is a life well lived. So just live your best life, and that's all you, just focus on yourself. There's so much toxicity in this world where if you just focus on yourself, that'll be enough and everything will fall into place.
Yes.
Yes.
For next time, our number three, what are we expecting? What can everybody expect?
A guest.
Dun dun dun. We're not gonna announce. Should we?
That's you. How kind of what do you want it to be?
I haven't even scheduled her. But we have Thousand Skies, so
the maker of the
Corgi plush. Like, hopefully we'll have her. I'll try to schedule her for this week.
Okay.
Dun dun dun. I'm gonna commit. Okay, we got this. I look forward to it because, like, she's a big hero of mine and she's a huge part of why I am in the anime convention universe.
Yeah. Yay, that's great. Yeah, look forward to that. Woo.
We should have a cool ending.
This has been EXP Boosting. Remember to always press start.
The better line.
EXP Boost.
Stop! I'm cutting you off.
Hey guys, it's Vanessa again. Thank you so much for listening to the second episode of EXP Boosting. Next episode, we will be interviewing Elda, who many of you know as Thousand Skies. Elda has gained a large following for her art and lifestyle products revolving around pets. You may know her well for her extremely fluffy corgi and Shiba Inu plush and pillows. We'll talk to her a little bit about how she started with Thousand Skies and how she evolved from doing solely artwork to taking on the monster that is plush merchandising with no background in business or manufacturing. If you want to see more of us, you can find our social media as well as streaming schedules on the EXP Boosting website. Again, that's expboosting.com to learn more about upcoming episodes, guests, and other exciting things to come. We have so much in store and we are so excited to have you along with us. We are constantly pressing start and just learning as we go. Just a reminder to keep shining brightly, as Cindy said, and not worrying about others, because they can always put on sunglasses or hopefully shine with you. So, until next time, please take care and keep pressing start.